Hello and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And on this series of talks, what we'd like to do is to try and get to know ourselves a bit better, try and understand how do we act, behave, what motivates us in order to eventually make our life better. That we'll wake up in the morning with a big smile and bright shiny eyes. And what we'd like to talk about today is something that's very intense here in Israel, and it is stereotypes and being judgmental. It's something that exists in the relations between us. Usually, it brings us to unpleasant things, and we'd like to learn how can we deal with it. Tal, take it away. Yeah, this is really something that's been studied from all sides. And what does it actually mean? That when we see another person, we see what they wear, how they look, how they talk, how they behave, and immediately we cleave some kind of stereotype, label onto them. Sometimes we do it to other people, and today we'd like to understand what's the mechanism that triggers this behavior. That these are patterns according to which we behave. It's some knowledge about certain categories, groups in the population, in the general public, that make us act or react in a certain way. Suppose if I see a soldier or a young or old man or an Arab or a Jew or someone who's like this or like that, it could be appealing, it could be rejecting, it could be many things. And these templates that we have, it only makes things worse. And this is something that the Israeli society has been dealing with from the very start. We had those who were native, that were born here when the state of Israel was only established, and those that immigrated to Israel. There's the religious and seculars, etc., etc. And the way to deal with it is, first of all, maybe to understand that it's something that's embedded in us, that it's really inside of us. And the question is, why do we relate to reality in a way that we stick on a label to everything? Whatever we see immediately, we put a label on it. Where does this inclination come from? My question to you is, how can it not be that way? I see different phenomena. How am I familiar with them? According to my inner templates that I caught from childhood, from books, education, and everything, and accordingly, I relate everything to a template that exists in me. I refer to it. And it's not just us. We built computers the same way. Every sensor, every device that has to catch something, perceive something, in what range, in what resolution, etc., etc. Everything's built that way. I have to make some kind of comparison between that which is, suppose, outside of me or the device that I built and what exists inside of it and its memory. And then, in that comparison, I can get to know things, I can measure. Every dial and a device that measures something measures it against what exists in it. So it has some kind of memory or spraying or something. Everything's according to comparison between one and the other measurements. So if I look at Oren, I need to measure glasses on the one hand, small on the other, dark, but seems bright and probably is quick the way he behaves, etc., etc. He has a yarmulke on his head. I need to attribute everything to something that's familiar to me. And accordingly, I already build my attitude towards him. How will I treat him in the meantime, after this first impression? And you know, there are different sayings about it, that we measure a person by his clothes, until we get to know who and what he is, and there are many movies and novels about it. about how people get other people wrong because of their appearances, because of what they wear, etc., etc. But it's natural, and it's something that you can't skip over. Don't we lose a lot as a result? Look, when you go to some event, probably for 2 hours before that, you sit in front of the mirror. Well, usually less. Why? On the other hand, you're saying, I want for them, or with in relation to a man, I want for him to get to know my beauty, my inner beauty. But you know that it doesn't work that way. That nonetheless, you need to show yourself, present yourself in a certain way, pretty externally too. And being externally pretty means what? Suppose you want to meet a man that you have certain plans about him, how to make him your husband. You need to check what habits does his mom have, who is she, how did she raise him, what foods does he like. Right, Owen? Of course. My spouse cooks. He's better at it than I am. So in short, you need to suit yourself to him in different ways. Foods, habits, things, you need to show him that what's good for him, you already know, and it's good for you too. Meaning, here we need to work in relation to this comparing device that exists in each of us. Because only in the comparison between people do we start seeing how suitable or not they are, close or not, etc., and the kinds of connection that there is between them. And what do we see in the Torah? He went to Lavan to take his daughters. Why? Why Lavan? Because it's his relative, etc., etc. If we're talking about the literal meaning. Can we say that it's something positive that helps us because there's so much information? We need to classify it somehow. If I want to get to know someone and be close to them, I need to find what's common between us and what's the opposite. This is all in all what we need to examine. And this is how we always examine people. Why do we actually need to all the time compare? He's more, he's less. He's tall, he's not. That's how our inner device works. My inner sense, that's the desire to receive, my ego, always checks more, less, beneficial or not. This closer, more distant, in different ways. For it, it's ceaseless examination. It sounds like we're a machine. Of course we're a machine. That we constantly examine ourselves, is the other person beneficial to us more or less, and their different aspects, ways of behavior towards me, etc., etc. Accordingly, we choose, and correspondingly, we're closer or further away from people. Now, the research tried to find, why do we label people in a certain way? And many times, it's not to our benefit to label people, because it creates conflicts and problems, because we're not objective when we label someone. And, you know, the label is not necessarily positive. Some say that it comes from our need to raise our self-esteem. And so if I label someone negatively and they're less, then I'm necessarily more. So a label isn't always something objective. It's never objective. How could it be objective if I measure everything according to what exists in me, in my memory, in my desire, in my personal archive? How? So if you can explain, I invited you to my house on Saturday Eve. You come, and what do you see on the table? Some unknown pale soup, and then gefilte fish, and then some white piece of chicken or something. There's nothing. The plate isn't smiling. Yeah, you don't even have salt on it. What are you going to do? Where is your beloved chilbe, your Yemenian food that you like, warmer colors, yeah. Nothing of it. How can you eat it? At least give me a cup of coffee. They give you something with cream, with who knows what that is, instant coffee, instead of strong black Turkish coffee. And what do you say about this food afterwards? Yeah, not only that, I won't eat it, but it aggravates me when I see this kind of food. Also, the smells, terrible. But what I want to understand is, because you compare it to what you have in your archive, whereas were I to invite Tal, then maybe she'd enjoy it. I don't know what home she came from, but maybe her mom is like my wife, and so she raised her to eat these foods, and then she'd enjoy them. And that's how it is in everything. If you don't have such memory cells, then you're incapable of perceiving the world because you have to judge it. You have to taste one opposite the other. Look at a baby. You can accustom the baby to anything, to salty things that he'll find tastes in it. Really so? I had a Hindu friend in the army. When we used to get compote made out of different fruits, from canned fruits in the army. He always used to carry around pepper to spice it up. He used to put like a centimeter thick layer of pepper in that compote, and then he'd drink or eat it. When I looked at it for the first time, I didn't understand. I couldn't imagine that it's pepper. I thought maybe it's cinnamon or something. Look, about food, it's pretty clear. The problem is, it's not about how do I relate to a steak or something in my soup pepper. But when it comes to relations between people, there it creates different difficulties and hate and estrangement. I remember when my kids came back from school this one day, they came and they told me a joke. I can't remember exactly what. I think maybe it was about Arabs or something. Something that really shocked me. Because this is something that they never hear from me. And here, suddenly, they get these different stereotypes that make them very limited people, very flat, superficial. I don't know. You see, maybe 7 or 8 years went by since then. I still remember it. It really shocked me. So here it's not about what you like to eat or I like to eat. But here, what we're talking about is that the relations between people, the society that we live in, isn't homogeneous like in the past, you know, in some village in Poland or in Yemen. In the past, everyone was the same. And also the world is all intermingled, mixed. That these things, they really block you. I worked in a big company here in Israel, and there was someone who was really talented, that after 2 or 3 years, I found out that he was maybe a Druze. Now, 3 years, I didn't know that he's a Druze, and we had certain relations. We weren't close or anything. He was working next door, kind of. And I had a certain way that I thought about him. And suddenly I understood that he's a Druze, and immediately it changed the way I think about him. You can give 1,000 different examples about everything. Right. You explained up until now that we have no choice but to perceive the world through templates, comparative templates. Yeah. Yeah, like in an archive. There has to be something against whatever I have there. Or against whatever I see, there needs to be something there. But I see that really limits our ability to communicate with each other, connect with one another. Because a person's a person. Before I label you, it blocks me from getting to know who you are. I don't see you. I see what I have as a stereotype about you. That mostly is negative. Of course. We're experts in negativity. We have many shades of it. Otherwise, you as if harm yourself. You can't belittle yourself. So that's the difficulty. No, it's not a difficulty. Now we need to understand, why did nature make it so? Why are we made that way? How did it help us develop in evolution? On the one hand, and on the other, now, in this time, when humanity is in a crisis, and it's a global crisis, it's not just an economy or family life or education or something, it's a general human crisis, global one. In all realms, cuts, ways, how do we now precisely need to use this entire comparative mechanism that I have in the way that I accept others? And everything, how am I supposed to change it now? Because otherwise I'm not going to survive in this world. Because the world, the more interconnected it becomes, so interdependent, it now needs a sort of behavior in which we compare ourselves with each other and accept each other and look at each other. We really now need to be concerned, worried, with enough already canceling out others. We gain nothing from it. If we're interconnected, we have no choice. It's like in a family. We need to reach some happy middle, some place where we're as one man and one heart. We have no choice. This is the form that the world's unraveling into. From day to day, this is what I discover, and I also get many such emails about it from people that something that's clear, that we're advancing toward a state where the connection between us is becoming ever tighter, we're more interdependent, and then in that case, if I judge the other detrimentally, and it's all up to me because it's completely subjective, I judge the other person that way. I don't see the person himself. I see that person in relation to my templates. I don't see the person. I see how he looks in relation to my templates. You in relation to my templates, Owen, don't look good. What do you mean? Because I want to see a pretty big person, strong, happy, dressed nicely, that behaves appropriately, that speaks in a good, nice, clear language, like a movie star or something. And not that I see you. Maybe your mom and dad and relatives like you, but how come I need to love you? For me, one or another form in which people are, you know, the people here, the people in the studio, the people that I see, respectable people, for me, the template of a distinguished, good-looking person is a different person. So what do? I don't do anything. I just don't approach you. It comes from what need? The need for power, the need to be superior towards others. Because that's what the ego determines. I'm now saying what my ego determines. Now, on the one hand, on the other hand, let's say that you're the people that I'm dependent on. That's it. No, I'm dependent. I have no choice. It's like family. You can't choose your family. Right, exactly. So what do? I need to rise above my comparisons. I made this comparison research, comparative research. I have cells where I ran this comparison. Exactly, this minus this, that minus that. I did it, that's it, I'm finished with it. That's clear to me. Now, things are clear to me. Your templates in me, subjectively, they exist in me subjectively. Now, I need to rise above them. Above them. Like we do about our children. That I love them. No matter what happens. No matter how much they're like this or like that. And I can look at them and I can tell you about them things that are worse that exist in each of you. But still, in my attitude toward them, I raise, lift myself above this entire form. Not that I don't want to hear that this is how they are, or I don't want to hear it from strangers, but I know about all this negativity, all the negative things in them, and what does it say? Love covers all crimes. Above this entire form that seems as a crime, as something bad, I elevate myself above it and treat them with love. Why? If the connection with you is that important to me, that it saves the world, that by it we can reach a better, stronger society, that together with you I elevate myself to a new degree of existence, something that pays off, so much so that I actually agree not only not to see you negatively, but in a good, nice, positive way, that I give, that I pour everything on them, that I hug you and everything. Like a mom that hugs her baby, that, you know, a baby that you can't touch seems repulsive to you, and she hugs it, it's the most precious thing to her. Previously, we said that we're a machine that labels unconsciously, subconsciously. Now, researchers show, for example, they took physics students and they asked the students to build a questionnaire. What did they ask in that questionnaire? Do you like science? How do you perceive reality? Meaning things that are suitable to physics students. Meaning the way we act out is according to the inner templates that we have. We can't escape it. So how these new behaviors that will adapt ourselves to treat others like my children, how will it help me rise above this machine that exists in me that I automatically label everyone and everything? How do we rise above this automatic nature that's so embedded in us? Only public opinion, if society in general is concerned with all of its members treating each other properly above all the differences, then this is something that we need to instill in social opinion consciousness. We need to publicize it on all, through all the media, activate all the mechanisms. Because look how it happened in the U.S. We need to talk about it. One way or another, the relations between white and black, maybe not the other way around because it wasn't treated that much, it wasn't dealt with that much, but the Europeans towards the Africans in the U.S., their attitude changed. It's not that they're doing it as if, make-believe, but today there is no longer the same distance, hate, rejection, disregard as before. And this was politics that over a period of 50 years gave results, meaning that it's possible to do it, only that no one works on it and other things, but it's possible. Also here in Israel, there are different programs to get together Jews and Palestinians for them to get to know each other, because the more we get to know each other and we sit and talk, we'll find out about things beyond the basic templates that we have. So maybe we're not doing it enough. Well, we're not doing it enough for sure. But is it only a matter of quantity? Or no. There's also a security problem here. Because of all the things that are going on with our Arab neighbors, a person is not sure of their connection with them, and therefore they're afraid of reaching any kind of contact, and it really stands in the way of connection. But suppose abroad, when Israelis meet Arabs from Arab countries, I always saw understanding and closeness. Really so. We're talking with Arab countries, not Palestinians that live here in Israel, because they're already taught how to be against. But from Saudi, from other places, it's really a feeling of closeness. It's interesting. I also remember when we used to travel abroad, when my father used to meet Arabs, he used to like tell them, "You're my cousin," etc. They had a good connection. And here I understand that if we meet and get to know each other, then things will change. But will I ever be able to change my automatic response, or is it a process? It's a process that we need to go through for the sake of a higher goal, purpose, than our ego that always wants to separate everyone, put them in a slot, and cancel them. So if the goal compels, then I'll be able to do it like it was in the U.S., that it was a national goal, same thing here and all over the world. There needs to be the goal, that connection between everyone above all differences, whatever they are, like in one family, it needs to necessarily be there. Now, one of the things that we said that stereotypes serve is my sense of self, that if there's someone that's lesser than I am, or a group that's less than my group, it really strengthens me, so that there's a real need here. What in our approach can help us rise above the need to feel good about myself by seeing others lesser than myself? I see others lesser than myself always. I can see them more than myself on condition that I'm afraid of them. Then the fear increases. Their size, the size of threat, it comes from the body's protective force. But if not, I want to cancel everyone. That's my nature, egoistic nature. So, what are you asking? How will I come to a feeling that I'm good without doing that? I don't want to belittle others all the time in order to feel good. You'll do it all the time, necessarily. How to correct it? By social consent that we, in circles, on workshops, in different circles, reach a state where we learn how not to cancel anyone, how to treat everyone equally, how, for the sake of reaching some kind of mutual feeling, social elation, that where society is greater than each of us, that from the mutual responsibility between us, we attain the sense of security, and it benefits us, etc., etc., but only on that condition. So it either has to come through suffering, that I have no choice, that I have to do it, or by adding to it intellect, wisdom, that then we bring the bad future closer if we don't want to reach it. And before we reach the bad, like in a medical diagnosis, we treat the illness and heal ourselves. Now, you explained that with the help of workshops and connection between people, is it possible to rise above these templates? And I want to give you a situation. Suppose we're gathering 10 people here. One of them is an Ethiopian. One of them is of Russian descent. One of them is a settler. Another one is an ultra-religious Jew from Bnei Brak, the city of Bnei Brak. Someone's from a rich neighborhood. Someone's from the periphery. Someone's from the very north of the country. Another one is from a kibbutz. And another one who grew up in the Emek Hefer area in a small village. And they're all here with us around this table. Each represents an entire public, and there are dozens of other currents here in Israel, but I'll stop here because of the time. Now, each has a certain template which they represent. And what now? Nothing. Doesn't matter who they are. I'm not even asking who they are. What do I need to know what the differences between us are? No, it's not that you need to know. You evidently see it immediately. So that's it. I already have a picture of them. I have an impression of who they are. What now? What do we need to do? Yeah, take us through a process. So what we're having now between us is not a discussion, but a conversation in which each adds to the others about the same topic of how do we need to be connected together, under what conditions, in which thoughts, actions, desires. How can we build such a society so that these 10 people will feel that they are very close to each other? It's like they peel their heart and touch each other on the bare flesh. How can we do that? Let's hear everyone. Now, everyone can say a sentence, half a sentence, a sentence and a half, and the other adds to it, and the other, etc., etc. We don't argue. Each annuls himself toward the others by only wanting to add. And everyone wants to come to a single consent. How is that possible to do? And the main thing is the feeling that we can generate in this kind of connection between us in the center of the round table. And that's it. There are rules here according to which we act. The first rule is that the goal needs to be above everything. What's the goal? Connection between us above all differences. But in the meantime, there is zero connection between us, meaning we already have what to connect above. First of all, does our connection at heart depend on men, women, rich, poor, Arabs, Jews, Druze? Are you from the periphery or some rich place? To talk about it. Yeah. Does connection depend on it at all? Or do we need to rise above all these things? What do we need to get into the character and the nature of each and everyone, each and everyone's tastes? What for? We need to rise to a different level, above the body, above its habits, above its mentality, to the second story, second floor. And what do you have there? Only the desire to be connected with others. I can get the spicy soup that I like, or gefilte fish, or shakshuka, and schnitzel, and doesn't matter who and what. It does not matter. What matters to us is that we want to connect, that we understand that all the 3,000 different parts in mankind that are different and even opposed to one another, that they will all be forced, necessitated to connect with one another despite religions, beliefs, habits, tastes, you name it. Have to. Otherwise, we're all doomed. We're going to be slaughtered. It's kind of drastic. Yeah, it is. If I'm one of those people that came to such a meeting, I don't have a feeling that I'm going to be slaughtered or anything. We can talk about that too. It's not just one talk. Now, we're 10 different people. Let's say somehow we got together. We need to think how, but we got together. Now I'm here in the studio with you. Everything's nice and comfy. But were you to get together 10 different people, I'd come, sit down, and I don't know how to put it, but no one here needs to brag, show off with their insolence, their intellect, special profession, that someone knows how to talk and the other barely knows how to put two sentences together. Nothing of that. We're just talking about one topic. How can we complete each other in order to become one whole? And then we clarify that we need to let go of ourselves. Each of us needs to stick out of the top of his head just one point of connection. This entire animal has nothing to do with connection. Nothing. Because it has plenty of habits and things. Like you said, I'd sit in the corner quietly, soon it's going to be over, where's the clock? I understand you. Okay, look, this is what I feel. This is the feeling that I come with. How do you relieve me a bit from this feeling? We start talking about how can we be connected. What happens when we talk about it? Why will talking about it make it happen? It's very simple. I close the door. No one leaves unless when all of you together are connected. To get this feeling that there's no choice. You're on this small planet, and this is the only way that you can be saved of the problems and troubles that become revealed, the crisis and this and that, enough of the crises already. It all depends on a person that is not connected, that is not integral, that he disregards ecology and everything, and he's an egoist, and it's all about himself. He shuts his eyes. He sees nothing beyond the tip of his nose, even though that he's headed towards an abyss and is going to fall soon. But it's not important. Let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we'll die. How long can you keep doing that? We're not thinking about our children or grandchildren at all anymore. So we are committed to come to one thought, one desire, and then we'll decide what do we do with the world and ourselves. But if we will have this mutual understanding and connection, we'll properly converse and have a feeling of mutual responsibility, that we're interdependent, that it's a fact that we can't do anything about it, only we need to feel it, to bring it to everyone's heart. Then from that, probably we'll be able to decide something and maybe we'll be saved. But we can't carry on this way anymore. This free fall is at an ever-growing speed. Okay, so we came to this understanding. Now we want to start realizing. So first of all, we stop seeing each other in a way that we see bodies. There are no bodies. We're talking about everyone's desire. and only about the desire to connect. Can you give us an exercise that will allow me to reach this emotional frequency where I don't see you anymore? You don't see if it's a man or a woman, black or white, rich or poor, pretty or ugly. You don't see these things. Where is he from? What denomination? Socioeconomic status? Right, you have nothing before you. This is what you want to bring me to. Yes. How? We talk about it. About what? About how much we're really dependent on our lowly egoistic perception that I accept the other person according to what they wear. Now, she'll put on a different shirt and you'll dress differently and accordingly, I'll treat you. Tomorrow you'll come in a suit and then, really, I'll treat you accordingly. Right? So please tell me, this rat, it's what determines my attitude towards you? This external thing that you went and bought by chance? Tell me, how could that be? We need to talk about this. We need to nonetheless give the right values. Not to blur, it's bribery. We're really in a big lie. Let's take off all of these things. So first of all, the clothing's not important, then the pocket, then the power, then the beauty, the looks, then the sex, and in general, the entire external appearance, eyes, ears, whatever. Doesn't matter. It does not matter to me. If now I want to connect towards something abstract with you, above my ego, so I have no relation to your body anymore. I'm related to an idea of being higher. There's this approach of taking a person from one group and to cause them to belong or identify with another group. Suppose someone from Tel Aviv to live in Jerusalem, or someone from one soccer team to hang out with fans of the rival team, or a left-wing person to live in a right-wing settlement. That's real nonsense. It leads to nothing. I don't need to live in an Arab's house, and he and mine, and this how we'll get to know each other. Nothing good will come as a result. Something good comes as a result of us rising above, him being an Arab, and me being a Jew, and he lives in a certain village, and I live in my city. Rising above the differences, above the body, above everything that you have in this world. From this world, to take from everything that we have on this planet, only to take the idea, that's it, the desire of each and every one, that we increase it, the desire for connection, that around the planet we build like this sphere, and in it we connect. This is what we need to know. And this is what we need to aim all of our exercises and workshops, etc., towards. I want to specify. I'll give you two situations. In one situation, suppose I don't understand, I don't like, I don't come close to people who immigrated from Russia to Israel. I don't know, I can't stand them. I can't stand the accent, the mentality, nothing. I even think that it's condescending, that even though that they're here for 20 years already, they still speak Russian. There's a park under my house. They throw a birthday party for their kids. The birthday party is in Russian. It's like I'm abroad. The magician speaks Russian. The kids speak Russian. It's like I'm in a different country. It doesn't matter. I don't want to get into it because I can give you a lecture of an hour about why I don't like or I'm not drawn to that I'm rejected by this type of people that came to Israel from Russia, from the former USSR. Now, Tal says, there is a model that says that If you take me and allow me to live in a city, in a neighborhood, suppose in the city of Ashdod, there are many people from the former USSR, or come visit once a week, sit in a restaurant, in a bar, and something. Come to me after a year, after you mix me with them, you'll see that I have a different attitude towards them, because now I have no relation to them. I only look at them from afar, and they reject me. Now, when she explained this model, you said, nonsense, won't give anything. That what's necessary is, this I don't understand. Why are you saying that it's not the way? Look, this is what everyone says. Like you said about Ashdod, to mix with them, everyone says that. You have plenty of organizations around the world that do that, that mix different cultures. So if you can explain why won't that work and what can. Because what you're saying, to go and mix these with those, etc., etc., what you're mixing are everyone's egos. Each one's ego, character, inclinations. And then everyone remains the same egoist that doesn't want to accept anyone, that wants for everyone to behave his way. So a bit you start to become somewhat similar in something where it's worthwhile for your ego and someone's ego, etc., in a very narrow common area. Suppose you have one circle and he has another circle, and in this very tiny area you see the two circles dressing on each other. There maybe you can somehow be in something common, and it's all egoistic that can break up any moment. You are not coming out of your boundaries. Each remains in his own boundary. Each is nonetheless doing only their thing. Only we see that it's beneficial for us to have some kind of technical cooperation externally. Like we do something maybe for our Arab neighbors and they do something. It's give and take, but that's it. So either we do it for money or for some other pleasures, doesn't matter. It is in the ordinary egoistic turf out of which nothing grows, can grow. To the contrary, usually it brings to an even greater distance. Distance, we see. Eruption, etc., etc. You nonetheless try to control each other, etc., etc., if you don't rise above the ego. Now you're talking about the alternative way. Right. If you don't rise above the ego and connect above it. On the second floor, this I don't understand. What do you mean by to rise above the ego, second floor? I do not take into consideration any discernments of yours in this world. You were born from such a mother, this education that you got, you're like this, you came from there. This mentality, none of that's important to me. That's your concern. You need to get out of your box that you're like this and you're like that. Just one thing, that we have no choice, but we need to connect with everyone. And the other person, too, that's from some rich neighborhood, needs to also take out that necessity, and the Ethiopian, and the one from the periphery, and the ultra-Orthodox Jew from Jerusalem, and the secular from Tel Aviv, and everyone, including everyone. Everyone needs to stick out just one antenna above their head, which is the desire to connect above all the differences. There are no differences. I don't care. I push delete on everything. I erase everything. The faces, sex, education, doesn't matter what. It's all not important to me. For me, 7 billion people living on this planet are just 7 billion plain egoistic boxes. And I don't mind what's inside the box. Suppose you closed everyone inside a box. You closed each person inside a box. take just one thing out of there, the desire to connect with others. And these desires is what we connect. Every year, the Minister of Education sets a topic that they'd like to focus on during the year. So the focus this year is the other is me. To rise above the differences, to deal with the rifts, with the demonization, with the hate of the other. So the slogan is, the other is me. How would you advise the Ministry of Education to implement it? Just like what you described now? Yeah, that's the only way. What do you mean by the other is me, that I control the other and want for him to be like me? That's the question. Look, I don't know too. But that's on an egoistic level. I don't know, because they actually want to rise above the hate and demonization. They want to feel like the other is me and I'm the other, only on condition that it's neither me nor him, but that each of us doesn't relate to his nature, but that above it we build a new realm in which we live, where the connection's more important than each of us. So it's going to be interesting to see how are they going to try and implement it, but we will recommend these kinds of workshops. As usual, they'll throw in a few activities, they'll pat themselves on the back, and we'll carry on. Okay, another question I wanted to ask. Sometimes stereotypes aren't only in relation to others. Sometimes the stereotype is in relation to myself too. For example, I have a friend. She's a teacher in school. She was working with a group of students that were weaker. They got help, etc., etc., in order to be able to finish school. Now, she says that these kids, they labeled themselves as being screw-ups, weak, incompetent, and many times these kinds of stereotypes accompany a person all life long. Right. On a previous show, Owen asked you, what's more powerful, a negative or a positive influence of someone over me? Sometimes someone tells me something negative, and you know, it could accompany a person for years, something that someone told them. How can you overcome these kinds of stereotypes? We talked about labeling others, but how can I overcome labeling myself? Also, by rising above one's own character. This, I don't understand. How do you do it? Also, with the help of workshops. What do you mean? That I rise above myself. My problem is the following. I was born with certain qualities. Under certain conditions. In a certain family, kindergarten, school, etc., etc. I received education and an environment. That goes without saying. Now, how do I rise above all of these conditions? Each of us, in this regard, is different. And if we're different, then I can't be like the other person. And if I'm not like the other person, I can never connect with the other person. We see that today. As our ego has grown, seriously, we can't be together. We simply can't. Each needs at least a room of their own, a computer. Why computer? Because I'm behind the screen, away from everyone. It's safer. Yeah? Meaning all the environmental conditions, from the environment, from nature, from education, from everything that we have, they only set us apart. And therefore, what I'm saying is that we need to put a restriction over them. They remain, and I first of all connect with everyone on the second floor, so to speak, above these conditions, above everything that exists in me. First of all, connection in which we want to be as one man and one heart, to build a new connection between us, one for all. And then, after we attain it, I start working with my character, and each with their character, in order to increase this connection. Meaning that we're starting to, as if, rise to that point of connection with our ego, each of us. We're included in that point of connection, each of us, with their entire history. And then it no longer influences me. Right, but it's serious work. Meaning, if we just connect and keep our connection, which is called mutual responsibility, and we help each other as much as we can, etc., etc., then we're on a level called to bestow in order to bestow. Meaning, we're disconnected from our ego somehow. If we already start connecting our ego to that connection for it to support the connection, that's called to receive in order to bestow. I want to ask about the self-stereotypes. There was an example of a class that they were a weaker class and they got lots of help. Now, the fact that you're a part of this class that gets lots of aid in order to help them finish school, it makes them feel like screw-ups and fail. That they feel lesser, that's the main thing. And this is something that accompanies them all life long. Right, now, throughout life, each of us accumulates different stereotypes. Some I label myself, some I get from others, my parents, the environment. Each of us has a file. What do I do with this file? It's not stereotypes about others, but stereotypes that I have about myself that limit me. What do I do with them? This is my question. You can't get rid of them. Okay. Only through that connection that I've just explained. How's that related? Because you want to get rid of what you have in your box. Then only by rising to connection with everyone. But how's that related connection with everyone to the thoughts that I have about myself? Mister, it doesn't matter the thoughts that you have or what you have inside. You want to get rid of it, you need to rise above what you are. How do you elevate yourself? Through exercises, workshops, different things that then you become integrated in everyone. And they help you come out of yourself. And then you also get rid of the negative feeling. All the negative feelings that each and everyone has, all of them, where do they go? Because they remain lower in importance. I don't understand. Because what you raise in importance now is only the point of connection above everyone. That's the only thing important to you. The measure to which I'm connected with everyone, suddenly I start feeling that I'm connected with everyone. And this mutual feeling that covers me with warmth, etc., etc. And I don't care about what happens to me personally. I'm not concerned with this and that. I function, but these are, you know, things that accompany you on the way. What matters is the connection between us that really enlivens me and elevates me to a feeling that's above time, space, changes, everything. This is where I want to exist. And we feel that this is what happens with people that are in a workshop. Suppose I have a stereotype. I labeled myself as someone unsuccessful. And that you can be as successful as everyone and even more. Because it's clear to you now that you, by yourself, can't succeed in anything. You're no good, as you put it. So ascend. This is something that you can do. And that everyone's equal. What do you mean in that? In rising above yourself and connecting with others. And what about the feeling that I'm no good? To the contrary, you'll succeed in connecting with others. Why not? Why? You have some kind of problem. Everyone has the same problem. Their ego. And you need to mutually help each other in order to rise to that point of mutual responsibility or guarantee where everyone's interdependent. You have no solution of how to get rid of all the inner social, national, global problems, financial problems, economy, ecology, you name it, society, whatnot. The only way is to rise above human nature, where human nature is what corrupted everything. It built everything in a corrupted way and continues the corruption. Just to rise above it is the remedy. Rising above it is the only remedy. There's nothing else. Our time's up. This was really interesting. Thank you, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Tal. Everyone is successful. We'll connect and rise to the next degree. All the best. Till next time.